Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Cavs, Pacers, tonight, Indianapolis, 7:30, ESPN. That's where you want to go if you want to see it. And, of course, reaction, you know, you'll always be able to talk to us here at 92.3 The Fan, and we'll take care of you. And, you know, as we break news and let you know what's going on, we're hearing what's going on in Indianapolis right now. If you're just tuning in, you're just hopping in the car. Mobley, Garland, Hunter, all on the floor for shoot-around this morning. All three guys injured in Game 2, and now we'll see if they're able to battle back here in game number three, where the Cavs are desperately looking for a win. And let's be honest, Jeff and I talked about it. 2-1, you're back in it. 0-3 history.
You are back in it if you win tonight. You know, you really are.
Yeah.
I mean, you could lose game four and be down 3-1 and come back home and, you know, take care of business.
Yeah, there's that whole down 3-1 thing. Has that happened around here once?
I do believe it might have.
I do, too. All right. I also asked you the question, how confident are you in getting a win tonight? And I'll give you the chance to answer that question again. 216-474-0092. Jim in Strongsville, our good friend Jim in Strongsville. Hello, Jim.
Hey, guys. 100%. They are 100% going to win. I'm guaranteeing it. Write it down. Put it on the wall. Menigan, it's happening. Jeff, I'm disappointed in your lack of confidence in this team. It makes me sad. You're usually
your lack of faith.
Jim, did you pick him in game two?
I did.
Yeah,
and
so did I.
Here's part of the thing, too. It's like the ran out of gas thing and all that. Like, I get that. I understand it. I get that's how the Indiana was in with the position that they were in at the end of the game. But I'm sorry. There's no excuse for the just general basketball mishaps that happened in the last 59 seconds. You didn't get the ball over half court. You let a guy put a dunk back in off of a missed free throw. I mean, there were just, whether it was a lane violation or not, you can't do that. Donovan Mitchell you can't throw and corner Donovan Mitchell in the corner. Max Strus can't throw the ball away. Look, that was like rec league basketball. And I was surprised because it reminded me of when the Pistons lost, you know, when the Pistons dropped. I remember thinking when the Pistons dropped that game to the Knicks, how they kind of fell apart in the last 59. They did the same thing. Nobody wanted the ball.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what to do with the ball. It was like a hot potato. And I thought, well, you know, we got a bunch of veterans. We're not a young team. This shouldn't be an issue for us. And I was really shocked that it was an issue for us.
All right, Jim.
One of the reasons I think that the Pacers win game three, Jim. I thought the Cavs had game two. I thought they were going to win it before it ever even started. And
I think if you get
they played great. They played great for three quarters.
If you get Darius back tonight, it's a lock. Look, here's the problem. That's why they play seven games in the NBA, because the Cavs, I get they have injuries, but they're just a better team. In a seven game series, like Boston, I don't think they're too worried either. I just think that's why you play seven games, so that you give the best team the best chance to win. And so I think the Cavs are a better team. I think they're going to get some guys back. I'm confident in this team. I don't want this season to end like this.
Me either. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Cleveland in Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
All right. I just wanted to let you know I'm with Jeff.
Oh, you think they're losing tonight, huh?
Yeah, because they have a couple of things that aren't quite right. Like, number one is Dean Wade has excellent defense. but he doesn't have a shot anywhere around the paint. Okoro, he's got shots in the paint, but he has nothing from the outside too much. He's, sometimey. And then the coach from Indiana, made sure that Ty Jerome, he hasn't started anywhere in this league as a starter at any time. We've been trying to win for 3 years with this core, switching coaches up, get a new coach, old coach leaves, he's coach of the year, new coach is coach of the year. Not coach of the year, but he was a candidate, Bickerstaff. And
finished second.
Everybody wants us to win within a couple of years of trying to get this stuff organized, and I don't see it. And I'll let you go.
Well, hey, Cleveland, I want to ask you a question. The three guys you brought up, are you still there, Cleveland?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, so if you get Mobley, Garland, and Hunter back tonight, that pushes those guys all back to the bench. I mean, Okoro's already coming off the bench. Wade's going to come off the bench. Jerome's going to come off the bench. So now do you feel the same way? If those three guys play tonight, kind of shoots down your theory on the reason, the troubles they were Cavs were having.
Yeah, maybe so. And that could be possible. But I'm just looking at the sureness of it, because this coach Carlisle's not a joke, man. And he's gonna come at you any way he can. And all of those guys for Indiana, yeah, they have a special shot that they know that if they shoot it, it goes in, and that's almost every player on that team.
All right,
I'll let you go.
Thank you, Cleveland. We'll let you go. We appreciate it. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092.
One thing the Cavs have to do tonight is play the same style of defense that they played in Game 2, because they made Indiana work for shots in Game 2, and Indiana wasn't good early on. You know, the Cavs had a great first quarter in that game. Indiana put up only 15 points. They eventually, as I've mentioned a couple of times, scored in the mid-30s in each of the next three quarters. But you had that 15-point quarter that carried you if you're the Cavaliers. And if the Cavs can make them work for shots tonight, then I think the Cavs have a chance. But we've all seen too much of this stuff. I just think the Cavs' best opportunity, and that's, there are just all kinds of little mitigating factors that went into my thought that they were going to win Game 2. And, man, I thought they had it, Andy. I really did. And then there are all kinds of little mitigating factors that go into Game 3 tonight that make me think it's an Indiana game.
But they did until the last minute of a game. I mean, it
no, I know, Dan.
It felt like it was a good trade. No, I'm not pushing back on that one. But if anything, if you put it in that context that you're in the lead until the last minute of a game, and now all of a sudden you lose it in the last minute for a lot of things that, hey, ball bounces one way. Yes, there's some boxing out stuff. Yes, there's some miscellaneous other things. Shouldn't that give you a level of confidence that, like, hey, without these guys, we got this far?
No.
Where a bad bounce did us in.
And you know why? Because I've watched way too much NBA basketball. These series have ebbs and flows to them. And you can tell, what's coming the next game and blah, 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 blah. I just had a feeling Cavs were going to respond like absolute crazy in their great environment over at Rocket Arena. And Donovan was going to be a beast, and he was. And Indiana was going to be flat, because that's the thing here. I had a great feeling that Indiana was going to be flat because they were so good in Game 1. So good. They shot so well. They were so wide open, blah, 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 blah. I just thought the Cavs are going to have the opportunity in this game to win this basketball game because of the factors that are going to be put in place. And it's exactly the way it played out, and they still couldn't pull it off. Tonight, those factors change completely. See, that's the thing people need to remember. From game to game, there's not necessarily building off of a game in the playoffs. It's a whole new game. It's a whole new situation. Mm-hmm. Indiana might have been flat in Game 2. They are not going to be flat Game 3 at home with a chance to go up 3-0 on the team that kicked everybody's butt in the Eastern Conference. That place is going to be going nuts. They'll have a good crowd in there. I wonder if it's going to be a sellout. You never know. Indiana is not a great, historically, NBA town, to be honest. They're a great,
you would think
great
in this
college and basketball area.
High school.
Yeah. High school, yeah. But I just think that the factors change from game to game. And the factor of Indiana playing so great in Game 1 leading to a letdown in Game 2, that's gone. I mean, that's out the window. the Cavs being incredibly chip on their shoulder. Now the guys are down, and here comes Donovan and everything else. That narrative has changed a little bit. You get guys back tonight, that's all well and good. Everybody's assuming, oh, you get them back, they're all good to go. Now, what if they're all playing at 60%? So that's my point.
All right, so
the narrative changes, factors change. And that's why I think the Cavs are going to be hard-pressed to win tonight. They could do it, but I think they're going to be hard-pressed to win.
So you talk about that 60%. Kenny Atkinson talked about it yesterday. Was there any indication that the injured players would play?
It's so hard with these. The only way I could answer that is I kind of got in their bodies. Otherwise, I'm just playing a guessing game. You never know, and I think it's frustrating for all of us. And it's no indictment on anybody or the play. You know, none of that. Injuries are a tough thing.
Again, Mobley, Garland, Hunter, all at shoot-around this morning. I'm listening to all those things you said, Jeff, and I it's hard for me to argue a lot of those points.
May I push back on Mr. Phelps' points?
Well, hang on, just real quick.
And of course.
But I can envision a scenario where these three guys are playing tonight, where you're taking the pressure off of those other players that you use, the bench guys that probably, you know, did a great job but could not finish the job in game number two, and there's a reason why. I mean, and so when you get into a situation like this, I expect Indiana to come out on fire tonight with the crowd, everything Jeff talked about there, and the Cavaliers will start making their money in the second quarter on, and then we'll see.
If the Cavs can sustain what I think will be a real initial strong burst from Indiana, then I think you're right.
Yeah,
Cavs can come back in that game, just like Indiana did in game two.
And like Indiana did in game one here. Remember, Cavs came out strong game one. Now what were you going to say, sir?
Oh, no, I was going to push back a smidge on Jeff. And look, I have a feeling this game is going to be real back and forth. I don't think this is going to be a blowout any direction.
I would agree.
But the one thing that definitely came out of it is the Cavs clearly seem to stumble and stumble is the wrong term, but make an adjustment into where they forced Indiana in that game to play a Cleveland Cavalier pace. It was a lot slower. They covered the three-point line a little bit better. They seemed to be communicating a little bit better on different assignments on the defensive end, not giving up as many wide-open three-pointers. And we'll be honest, a little bit of regression took place from the three-point line for the Pacers. And so I partially wonder if, okay, so is the game one, is that what we are going to see? Or are we going to see game two where the Cavs are able to come out and dictate that tempo a little bit and cause the Pacer offense to have a little bit more issue? And it wouldn't shock me if game two is where we've end.
In one quarter, the Pacer offense had issue. In the second, third, and fourth, they scored 105 points. So early on, I agree with you on that, Dan. Early on, I do. But in the fourth quarter, Pacers shot 54% and 67% on threes. In the third quarter, Pacers shot 56.5% and 40% on threes. And then in the second quarter, after scoring only 15 in the first quarter, Pacers shot 61% and 57% on threes. Cavs defense was pretty good for 12 minutes. That was it.
I think Cavs defense was pretty good overall.
Okay. Like, what means good defense? Because they didn't hold their shooting percentages down and they didn't hold their point totals down. So what's good defense?
Well, good defense was making them work for every single shot. Well, good defense God, was did. The fact that you watched scored. Tyrese Halliburton limping around.
And they still scored.
Right. So good on him. You had to work your tail off to get there. You've done what you can do. It's not like all of a sudden defense sucks because they made shots. Hey, you tip your cap to them every so often. How many contested shots
Steven
do you
Vogt.
See win games?
Steven Vogt's the only one who's allowed to tip his cap, and he does it 14 times every postgame.
Okay, fine. Then what's the basketball equivalent? Tip your lapel? Is that what we're going to go with? Am I going to unzip my quarter zip for you? Is that how we're going to work?
Can the Cavs win tonight? Absolutely they can win tonight. Absolutely. And they have to or they're done.
Here comes the backside. Go ahead.
Well, there's no but. The only but is I don't think they will.
There you go.
I thought they'd win.
That's a big but, Jeff.
I thought they'd win game two.
It's a big but.
Thank you.
All right. The rookies are in town for football. They're here. Your draft picks, the unsigned drafted guys that were here, they're all here. Rookies are here. Looking forward to it. We're going to hear from some of them today throughout the day. Probably hear from the quarterback sometime tomorrow. Looking forward to that as well. And Andrew Berry was already getting things going this morning on the morning show. What did he have to say? If you missed any of it, we're going to go through it And if you're a Nick Chubb fan, I don't think you're going to want to hear it. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.